I'm asking Aaron and Robin to come up, please, and share with us whatever you're going to share with us. We're looking forward to it.
Whatever.
Have these things
got great trust.
On?
Do we turn these on or they come on?
They're all on.
Hopefully not for my singing. Great. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be back at church, actually. This is awesome. It's been quite a while.
For us, yeah.
Quite a while at any church, but yeah, it's good to see smiling faces and support of us, and yeah, we're just really pleased to be here this morning. I'm just wondering if we could put up the goodness and faithfulness slide up there. It's just a couple little reminders I had of what I wanted to talk about, and when I saw the scriptures come up, I was thinking, man, that's exactly what I was thinking.
If you want to see it.
Yes. So.
There you go.
Thank you. Great. So 10 years, about 10 years. And even before that, about a year before that, God had called us into missions, but we didn't really know that. We just knew that we were going to do a school in Perth. Had no idea the impact that would have on our family, our marriage. And then from there, it wasn't just about us. It became about the nations. It became about meeting people. It became about going, and God had a big plan, and he didn't share much with us at the time that it was that big, and I think if he did, we probably would have turned and ran. We probably would have stayed on our little island. Our marriage probably wouldn't have survived. There's lots of things that wouldn't have happened if God wasn't so faithful. And I think the thing that stood out to me when I was just reading, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. And as we came here, he gave us a confirmation to go and to go to Perth. And as soon as that happened, things started to fall apart. I think we've shared that a little bit with you guys, but marriage started to hit the rocks a little bit. And God was so faithful with a confirmation that was so clear that we actually could not get away from that no matter what we tried to do. The enemy tried to stop us from getting on the plane, essentially, and once we were on the plane, all of a sudden, we were blessed, and the one who takes refuge in him. And so our refuge was coming here. Our refuge was obeying God and saying yes, not knowing and having no clue how far we'd go with it. But it's just incredible where he's taken us. And the other scripture that stands out, so then it just reminded me for, Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in your perfect faithfulness, you have done wonderful things planned long ago. And so just knowing that, 10 years later now, looking back, it wasn't just about our family, it was going, it was actually learning more about who we are, raising our children in an environment that was essential, I think, for our family. Different education than a lot of kids get in the world. We're in an international, interdenominational community of believers from all over the world, and it was just an incredible way to raise our children. All different cultures, all different people, all different generations. And I think, God knows what he's doing, obviously. He knows what's going on. He knows what's best for us, for you. But we're so pleased by his goodness and faithfulness in our life. Yeah.
My turn?
I think so. I don't know. I probably went off.
Yeah, so like Aaron said, we'd committed to do 6 months in Perth. And even that in itself was a huge commitment of finding tenants for our house. We had bought a house a few years before, telling our families that we were leaving for 6 months, putting jobs on hold, and it seemed like a big deal to say, hey, look, we're leaving for 6 months. We feel to go and be trained up in different ways of the Lord that we don't have and didn't grow up with. And throughout that 6 months, it was very up and down and difficult. But when we were wrapping up that 6 months, we really felt God tugging at our hearts and saying, this is more than just 6 months. You will be coming back. We kept that in our hearts, and we prayed about it, and we talked about it a lot, and we We both felt like, yeah, it's right, we would come back, but we didn't know when. And that didn't come until we, a few months later, probably 6 months later, it was around Christmas time, 2011, and my parents said, look, we saw such a change in you guys and your family, and, you know, my parents aren't believers, so for them, they were kind of like, yeah, go do your thing, but hurry up and come back. But when they saw us come back as changed people, they saw, I think they really saw the Spirit of God upon us, and they gave their blessing for us to move back. They said, you know, we know this was important to you, but we also see such a change that, you know, you have our blessing to go. And it was at that point that God started speaking that we'd move back to Perth in June of 2012. So that's what we did, and at that point, it was just a 2-year commitment. So we were like, okay, this time we're saying goodbye, but just for 2 years. But that 2 years just kept on rolling over and rolling over until, yeah, you know, we've been here now 8 years since that commitment. So, you know, it's just been really, it is God's goodness and faithfulness. It just, he wasn't done with our growing, and he's not done. It doesn't mean that we're leaving here and our growth stops, but we just really believe that he called us here for this season of our lives. And as I reflected on that this morning, you know, it's not just that he invited us here to spend time in Australia, but we were doing work here. We were planting seeds of faith in the city of Perth, as well as different nations. We've been to Mexico, to Nepal, to Indonesia, to East Timor, to Thailand, to the Philippines, to India. And most recently, last year, was Malawi, which we didn't know would be our last missions trip with YWAM. But, you know, to just sit back and think that 10 years ago, if you would have told us that we'd be spreading the gospel to unreached people groups and people that have never heard of Jesus before, I would have thought you were crazy, because we're just two normal people who've struggled through life. But God uses anybody to, you know, to call. You just have to listen the call and obey, and that's what we've been doing. And I think during our time at YWAM Perth has been incredible with what we've, I think the impartation that we've received. I feel like we've given a lot, but we've also had the support of a really great organization that really taught us who God is and his character and his nature, as well as how to hear his voice when we're praying, what evangelism means, and especially how to do it effectively when you're overseas in a nation that's not your own, and especially nations that don't speak English, that's tricky as well, learning those tools. Spiritual warfare has been a really big one for us, just fighting battles with God, and the spiritual realm is a thing, we'll talk about that another time. And prayer, how important it is to pray and use that intimate connection that we have with God. I would never have known about these things if I hadn't have come here. It just wasn't taught in our church, and that's okay. But I think a big one is the accountability aspect, how to be accountable. Letting people in and letting them join our battles was really vital for us to get through some of the things that we were struggling with. But I think what I really love is that we've had an opportunity that not many people have had. Being definitely an adventure of a lifetime, and it's, yeah, I think for us, just something that we've cherished, and we just felt to share a couple highlights of times when we've been overseas on the mission field and stories. So,
yep.
John, when you were up here, it just reminded me of just the Spirit of the Lord you're talking about. I'm not sure if it was, and it definitely was, because what you did is you spoke the language of YWAM. You offered free food. That was incredible. That was the inn. That was the avenue. Well done. But yeah, just thinking about the Homes of Hope ministry that God gave me and gifted me and let me grow and pioneer. It's really incredible looking back, because I didn't actually know why it spoke to my heart so well until I've been reflecting for the past month here. And so I grew up playing a lot of sports, and sort of from, I don't know, 5 years old, baseball, soccer, hockey, sometimes on the same day, just sports, team sports all the time. And that was actually a part of how I was raised, and so then that became a part of me. Just having teammates, having friends that you work hard towards a goal of winning a game or a championship or whatever it is, but you do your best, you're held accountable, and all these things that actually are really like God's kingdom kind of things in there that I'm looking back and I'm like, oh, he really raised me up in that. And that was really neat. And so then reflecting back, it was cool to see that God actually gave me this ministry where I actually got to raise a team beside me, and actually, like, we battled and had to fight to actually go to different nations and to build homes and to do these sort of incredible things that, you know, it would be like the odds of it happening just seem astronomical, like maybe Frio winning the premiership, like that kind of thing. So we're, sorry, John. But what we're saying is God is so good in just knowing us and knowing me and giving me this gift and actually, like, I don't know, allowing me to be myself within this context of actually having his kingdom grow in different nations. And it's just an incredible honor. And so then coming into this church and having people that have literally built churches and built this church was just cool that God connected us even in like that. And I just love how he works. That it's, if we could plan it, it's just going to be dull and boring. No, if God's going to plan it, it's going to be exciting, it's going to be different, it's going to be new, it's going to be stretching and challenging, and it's going to be good for us. And so, to me, that's my excitement, and I'm really looking forward to actually going back to Canada and pioneering something new there with my family. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what it's going to look like necessarily, we have some ideas and stuff, but just the excitement of something new again, really looking forward to it. Mm-hmm.
I think if we're touching on God's goodness and faithfulness in the traveling, especially, is that, you know, we're not a small group of people. There's six of us. So when we go and say, yes, God will go, it's not just myself or him. We usually went as a package deal. And most of you know YWAMers are not paid, so we're self-funded. We raise our own finance for everything, our day-to-day and our trips and all of that. And, you know, yeah, it's thousands upon thousands. I think if we sat down and calculated it, it's probably like $100,000 that we've seen come through our pocket. But I mean, none of it's kept. It's all gone back out into the nations, and that's been for getting us there and for accommodation so that we can stay in these remote, crazy places, sometimes sleeping on floors, sometimes with no toilets, no running water, showering with the hose, which sounds all exciting, and it is, but you know, it's not the point of the, you know, not having the finance, but actually going, the trusting and taking our kids to these crazy places that are, most people would not ever want to go, into the slums of Indonesia where it's dirty and there's flies. But the joy of bringing the gospel to people that have never heard it before and seeing their faces light up and they've never heard it, you know, and they're so hungry for a Bible and to know more, and having the opportunity to hook them up with different churches that we know that are on the ground there that they would never have known about, because some of these are Muslim nations where we're not supposed to be, but we are, you know? And so just the adventure that God's taken us on has been something that I could just never forget. It's an unforgettable experience. And, you know, I think in every nation that we've been, even this isn't our home nation, and this is one that we've been called to and we've been serving here. You know, I watch the sun go down and I think, wow, God's so good to have called us here. You know, and then every time when we've, for instance, driving thousands of feet on a cliff edge in Nepal looking down, I know that Lorraine can understand what I mean, is that you're like, this is so dangerous, but it's so exciting. You know, and like walking through the rainforests in Thailand and Indonesia is the one I meant. You know, just looking up and thinking, God is so good to have called us here. And, you know, walking into a little preschool in a Muslim community to give them basic, simple health care, like how to brush their teeth, and that you actually don't keep your toothbrush on the floor by the toilet. This is mind-blowing for some of these people, you know, and it's things that we've taken for granted. But God's got so many things he wants to share with the nations, and I just feel it's been such a privilege for us to be part of that, you know, and we'll never know the impact we've made, and I'm sure I know we've made mistakes along the way, but it's just been an incredible 10 years for us that we cherish deeply, and yeah, I think we could go on and on with how great it's been. It's been hard as well. There's been really tough stuff that's come up along the way, but without our intimate relationship with Jesus, I know that we would not have come through the other side the way that we did. So, yeah, God's had us where he's wanted us, and we've obeyed, and the call to go home has been a tough one, for sure. A surprising one. I, at the beginning of this year, was not expecting God to say that. But hey, we know that walking outside of God's call is possible but difficult. And we fought to stay, but here we are to go. And we've got good things that we'll talk about in a minute. But I guess maybe this is a time, if any of you have any questions about our time in missions or experiences, we'd happily answer. Otherwise, we'll move on.
Hey guys, it's great to hear from you. I wanted to just ask you to share maybe some examples of people that you saw come to faith. I don't know. I'm assuming there's moments like that. I think that would be an encouraging thing just to hear a story or two about that.
I think one that instantly comes to my mind was probably the first time I really saw and met with somebody who didn't know Jesus. We were in Mexico City. It was early 2011, and we'd been going and doing slum ministry, and it was pretty rough. And we came upon this cement walls, but really nothing else. No roof, no floors, and she just had a big metal door for going in and out. So she invited us in, and we went in, and I was shocked because there was just nothing, just dirt floors, no ceiling. It was crazy. But she was this really young mom. She had a couple kids. One was a baby. And through translation, she told us she'd been having a really, really tough time. And she really felt like she'd been battling with voices and just feeling like there was a lot of oppression on her life. But she said that she'd had a dream that these foreigners were going to come and meet with her. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, you know. But she, and then I heard from the translator who'd said, actually, she's a friend of mine from, I know that this is a true story. And, you know, we were able to tell her the gospel, share with her the gospel. Immediately, she just lightened up completely and wanted to know more, so we shared more with her. We went back to her house the next day, and by Sunday at the church service, she was there worshiping God and like dancing freely and just so excited that she finally had freedom in her life. And for me, that was completely, that just blew my mind that she, and then we went back about 4 weeks later to that same little village. And they'd said, this woman is on fire. She's here every day. She's serving the church. She's coming to each service. She's praying for people. She's learning about evangelism. She's evangelizing to her neighbors. So, you know, God does speak to people in their dreams. And it is true that he uses people or tells people, hey, these people are going to come and tell you something and you have to listen. So, yeah, for me, that was what stood out.
I think just last year in Malawi, and we would do a gospel video. We'd pull up a big truck, put up a screen, share the gospel on a video in their language, and just seeing the response of like hundreds of people coming forward to receive Jesus. That's like if there was a dream of a missionary, I guess, you know, like that. And it was just like, man, the hunger was just ravenous. It was amazing.
Just looking out from the platform of the truck and looking out, and you could just see them coming from all these little trails out of the bushes. And at one point, we had 1,000 people at one of these videos, and that was incredible. And we do follow up, so, you know, we see them. And they are still totally passionate about learning about Jesus, so revival possibilities. It's true.
Any more questions? I could see. I just want to remind you, our major focus is on the little family today. We're going to, at some stage, stop that and then follow our theme of goodness and faithfulness in taking the bread and the wine. But this is our last opportunity with them. So if you've got any questions, thanks, Steve.
With you guys leaving, so is there going to be a big hole in one portion of the ministry at YWAM now? Or has God got plans when somebody else is taking over, or what?
Be with YWAM anymore. We're going back home, and God's had education on my heart, as you know, for a long, long time. So while I have been here, I did get official qualifications, and I've managed to get a job. And that's what God's saying is my mission field for now. He has said that missions in the future are going to be a thing. I don't know what that looks like. But Aaron and I both feel to really take the missions mindset of evangelism and just being mindful of those that are around us and taking it into the work field.
I think it's interesting just watching God, I don't know if it's replace us or whatever it is in YWAM, but He's slowly had a guy coming in with me for Homes of Hope that now leads a ministry, is comfortable leading the ministry, and is just God-anointed and appointed. And actually, just in the last little bit with Robin, there's a lady that's looking like if there was a replacement, you know, God's got it in mind, and he's had it in mind for a while, apparently. So, yeah.
So we're jumping back into normal life. We're going to be getting the kids into school and getting jobs and just taking a bit to debrief. We've got debriefing lined up because we're not wanting to just jump into normal life because what we've been through is extraordinary. But at this point, it's not YWAM. Yep.
Yeah.
Can you keep praying for Fremantle, please?
I don't know if I have that anointing. It's like my hockey team, the Canucks. They've never won. And, man.
Let's actually stand and sing a very short song that I think captures a bit what we've been hearing about how good is the God we adore. And would you stay standing? And if you'd like to pray a short prayer for the littles, that's the time to do it, and then we're going to ask Lorraine on behalf of the mission committee to pray for us, pray for the littles and the family as a church, and then we'll lead into a short time of worship ourselves. So we sing this song. It's very short. Stay standing. Anybody who'd like to particularly pray, would you short prayers, and then Lorraine will close that time in prayer.